This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thanks for listening to the Prime Time with Isaac and Suk podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
As a player, that's your motivation to get it drafted as high as you can.
It's time to restock the shelves of professional basketball.
The only thing that matters is they all eventually want to play with guys who are on their level.
Let's see what the NBA movers and shakers have in mind. This is a draft week edition of Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Sherway Building Center, your summer outdoor project and remodeling store. Online at shurway.com.
Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Got a little ahoy?
What? Are these bongos?
Are we salsing? What are we doing?
These are Mike's new opens. I think...
like a Victor Cruz sort of thing.
We're very hip now. Because this is Dinosaur Jones or what's the guy's name?
Ooh, what?
That was close. It's Childish Gambino.
Yeah. Dinosaur Jones.
Okay.
So that's... so all the opens this week...
Hey, you know what? I've heard of Childish Gambino. I know who he is.
I know who he is, too.
Yeah, how about that?
He hosted SNL.
I'm on the cutting edge.
See, sometimes when those famous people like that we have no idea who they are anymore, they cross over into my old realm.
Yeah.
Like, maybe they're on golf coverage or they're on SNL. Then I'm like, there he
Childish
is.
Childish Gambino live from the PGA Championship. Hey,
right.
I know who that guy is.
So he hosted SNL.
Well, my daughter is a big fan. My daughter is a bit of a celebrity floozy when it comes to crushes. And so she's currently crushing hard on Donald Glover, a.k.a. Childish Gambino. And that's the only reason why I know who he is.
Okay.
My daughter's crushes, that's what keeps me somewhat in the loop, I guess.
Dads don't have to give reasons.
No.
You're just lucky that we know.
Yeah.
We know a few of these guys.
I've heard of it. He was in the new Star Wars.
But
he was the new Lando.
We know who they are via dad ways,
yes.
Not like the normal ways.
No. It's not like I'm on the cutting edge of music or entertainment.
I love his new album he just dropped. No, I saw him on golf.
Yeah. You saw him on Saturday Night Live.
SNL.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Mike's made new opens for us.
Yeah, Mike is like Music Mike over there. He wears many hats. He's been Science Mike, he's been Soccer Mike, and now he's like Mix Master Mike. He works I don't know this because I don't know any of the music he plays, but from the text feed, people like what Mike does on the cutting edge of the music intros.
It's very unique.
Yes.
For sports talk radio on AM. But
because nothing says talents, young and hip like AM radio.
I feel like his talents are being wasted over here with us. But, you know, it's kind of cool, I guess. I don't know if it brings the kids in. I don't know. But he's got a bunch of new opens this week, and they are all Dinosaur Jones.
Dinosaur Jones.
Yeah.
All right. Let's work with
maybe Basketball Jones.
What's his name?
Childish Gambler.
And then last year he did... opens with
Kendrick Lamar.
Lamar.
I forget what sponsored week it was, but I did all Kendrick Lamar songs, and then today I did all Childish Gambino.
So when we do these opens, there's somebody that listens every day for a week. I don't know how many people listen to us at any given time, but 0.5% of them are like, "Hey,
I've heard that.
Love those opens that week."
Well, you were gone last week when you had the cat AIDS and you were down and out, and Mike played something that had a little salsa flavor to it, and I was like, "What the hell was that?" It was from a video game. I think it was from Madden. I was like, "What?"
Yeah, I went through a phase with our rejoin music where I kind of looked at like what the Madden and FIFA soundtracks were, and I grabbed songs that had good beats.
Yeah,
so, there you go.
That would happen once I was at the chiropractor's office.
That's thinking outside the box.
Yeah, you know, the chiropractor, you get like the 30-minute like massage before they go in and like crack your back. And I was in there and they were playing some kind of music that seemed vaguely familiar to me. And I was like, what is that? And it was just like instrumental music. But it was like, this sounds really familiar
to me. Was it Legend of Zelda?
It was from a video game that my son played. Because after like 10 minutes of this, it was driving me crazy. And I was like, mean to be rude, but I'm like, what the hell is this? I'm like, it's there's something about this. And she goes, you wouldn't know. And I'm like, I've heard it somewhere. And my son plays it. It was, I don't remember what it was. It was some game.
Dinosaur Jones.
It was Dinosaur Jones that my son played. And that was, she was playing video game music. And she goes, yeah, I do that. And no one ever catches on to it. But she goes, it's some good instrumental music.
That's a thing.
That's a thing. It was it was from Skyrim. That's what it was.
It's kind of like the kids today doing what we used to do. And that is the, we really enjoyed TV theme songs.
Yeah. It's like the, you know, you're listening to the Facts of Life or whatever. Yeah. You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have.
The Facts of Life.
This is the new Facts of Life.
The Facts of Life.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So Mike's got some new opens. It's a big week. New week of sports talk here on The Fan.
A World Cup week.
Yeah, we got soccer. Mike's coming in handy this week because I have a lot of stuff in my notes about the World Cup.
Well, are you like me where you just kind of... I don't know. You're like an outside observer and you don't really fully understand everything that's going on, but you know it's a big deal, so you end up watching.
Well, I watch it. I watch it, but I usually only watch when games are coming down the stretch.
Okay.
Like I'll let them play 75 minutes.
So it's like the first couple rounds of the NCAA tournament. You just say, wake me when there's 6 minutes left.
If there's something good coming down the wire, I think it's great.
Sure.
It's exciting. Like today, England and,
I don't know. I'm trying to remember who it was, but yeah, it was on. It was on at the gym.
Trinity and Tobacco.
Trinity and Tobacco, huh?
Asia.
Tunisia.
They were playing Asia.
Or Tunisia, as they're saying. That's the right way to say it.
Here's a question: if Asia had a team, would they win the World Cup?
Just Asia in general.
Yeah. Only players from Asia.
It's a lot of people.
But would they beat Brazil and Argentina?
I can't answer that question. I did see today, though, the South Korean, so they lost to Sweden 1-0. And did you hear what the South Korean coach said? I thought it was brilliant.
No.
So the South Korean coach said that in practice, they changed up all the jerseys. And then in the game, he said it would confuse Sweden because they all looked alike to the Swedes.
Wow.
That from the South Korean coach. And I was like, bravo. I don't know if he's being serious or not, but I was like, that's grade A trolling right there.
True story.
That's fantastic.
And the Swedes won 1-0, but.
Well, I watch the World Cup here and there. You know, I mean, the games are on during the day. Anytime sports are on weekday.
Yeah.
I can flip it on because all we're doing is just prepping and stuff, mm-hmm. you know, talking some sports. And
it's on in the background. So I had like at the gym today, there was like, you know, three TVs that were tuned to the World Cup. And then there was a couple others that had Oregon State and Washington, and then that got delayed. So I was kind of bouncing back and forth between the Beavs and the Doggies and then some of the World Cup stuff.
Well, the main thing that I do when the World Cup is on is I jot down things and then I have a million questions about those things.
Yes.
I don't really know what I think about. Like, for example, the Landon Donovan deal.
Yeah.
I don't know what to think of that. I'm going to need to go to Soccer Mike for that.
Yeah, some people are pissed off. And then he came back and was like, how dare you question my allegiance to the United States? But yeah.
Well, they're not in the tournament,
no.
In fairness to him.
So he's rooting for Mexico, but people are upset about that.
Iceland's cool.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of stuff.
It's questions.
We'll cover the World Cup
there,
for you.
There you go. Some hot soccer takes coming from Isaac Rop. If they're anything like your hot hockey takes, boy, we are in for a treat.
So then we've got Oregon State and Washington in a delay right now.
Yeah, we got a little lightning storm happening there.
It's a good game. It's 5-4 mm-hmm. in favor of Washington.
Yeah, and this is an elimination game. Both of them lost game one. I saw that, was that on Saturday? The Beavers lost in the longest 9-inning game in College World Series history. It's 4.5 hours.
Yeah.
And they lost to North Carolina.
That's a really long game.
Yeah, and then Washington lost to, what, Mississippi State? So this is it. Like the Beavs lose this. Now it's what, bottom of six? I think 5-4, but the bases
I thought it was the top of the six.
Is it top of six?
Yeah.
Sixth inning, but the bases are loaded.
For the Beavs.
And there's two outs, so whenever this gets resumed, the Beavs are in prime position. You get a hit, and this thing's at least tied. But loser goes home here. It's like the old Pacific Northwest wrestling days between the grappler and Billy Jack Haynes. Loser leaves town.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So we've got a lot of golf talk today, which is right up my alley.
Yeah, you got the U.S. Open.
A lot of fun stuff from the from the Open, the U.S. Open out there in Shinnecock. That was good.
You think they go back? I mean, geez.
Oh, of course. It's a great course. Great golf course.
People not real happy.
Yeah, but that was a combination of things. We'll get into that. But Shinnecock's one of the best tests of golf there is. I mean, they will definitely go back there. That's a great spot. And In our next segment, we'll tell you about Chambers Bay.
Yeah.
Because you and I went up to Chambers Bay with a couple of bros.
Oh, that was beautiful. And dare I say, Isaac Rapp, even though you couldn't putt, quite an impressive performance.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Were you impressed with me?
I was impressed.
I hit it really well.
I've said it time and time again. You are a really good golfer. You do not give yourself enough credit for it. Rapp, he gets around the course.
Yeah, I got stymied by those fescue greens.
Well, the half greens.
They got me.
It was bizarre.
Because, you know, the players bitched about Chambers Bay.
Yeah.
When the U.S. Open was here, the PGA guys, a couple years ago. And the reason they were bitching is because those greens are fescue.
Yeah.
And, you know, by now, I think it's pretty obvious that that was a mistake to go with fescue greens. It's kind of like the Bandon greens, you know?
Yeah.
But it just didn't work. Players didn't like it. They're just strange. And they're very slow. Like yesterday or Sunday. Wait, when did we play?
Saturday.
So slow. I could not hit the putts hard enough. I just could not figure those bitches out.
If you putted just a little bit better, you got a chance to shoot under par. It was an impressive round because that golf course is tough, and it was beautiful. That is one of the that lived up to the billing to me. Outside of the greens,
no question.
That definitely lived up to the holy crap, this is awesome.
All right, we'll get to that next, and then we'll get into the U.S. Open. Folks, thank you for being with us on a Monday with new opens. It's very exciting. Isaac and Suk on the Fan.
This is a Draft Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
Brought to you by Sherway Building Center.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, 318 on The Fan. So much happening. First of all, somebody texts, and it's a good question. I'm sure many of you have the same question, and I will answer it quickly here. They said, hey, what happens if the College World Series calls the Washington-Oregon State game, because they're in the six. Mm-hmm. It's technically, by MLB rules, an official game. Do the Beavs get screwed? And the answer is no.
No.
They will finish the game no matter what. It may not be today if they can't get it in today. They'll play all nine eventually. They'll get it in. So that's the rule on that. You don't have to worry about that.
And I thought I read that they were close. Well, I guess I saw this maybe 30, 40 minutes ago. They said they thought they were getting close to maybe resuming that. So we'll try to keep you updated on it.
So in December, early December, we have our Special Olympics Oregon Radiothon, which is always fun. Last year, I don't know, do you remember how much we raised last year with the listeners for them?
Oh God, it was a lot.
It was over, I think it was like almost a quarter of a mil.
Yeah, it was over 200,000. It was by far our best year.
It's about 18 hours or 16 hours
something
of radio.
Like that.
We do that, and you guys always come through. And one guy who came through big last year was Nate Osborne.
Yep.
And Nate paid, I think, $5,000.
He did. And Nate had a great story where I don't think he minds us sharing, but Nate was he was feeling bold that day. He was quitting his job or attempting to quit his job. He wanted to quit his job. And he kind of felt one of those, you know what, I'm going to do something good for someone else. I love Isaac and Suk. And so he was empowered, and he dropped 5 G's on this package.
He says he never really does things like that, but we did catch him in a mood that day where he was pissed about, I think what he said was he was just mad about the way people treat money.
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't care about the money. Let's give this to Special Olympics Oregon. What the hell? I love the golf. We'll go play Chambers Bay. So
let's
do it. You and I, and him and a friend at Chambers Bay. And we have to thank Matt Allen, who is the GM up there, for donating that to us. Mm-hmm. He's a great dude, and he's an Oregonian, actually. And so he hooked us up. And then I think he also got a Pumpkin Ridge foursome. And then
the club fitting, right?
Yeah, he got the fitting from Ben out at the Tour Van, which is out at Pumpkin Ridge. And that's like, he's one of the best fitters in the world, used to fit Rory McIlroy. Mm-hmm. Well, so Nate and I and you and Nate's buddy Ryan, we all piled in the my wife's car.
And they couldn't have been nicer guys.
Oh, they're great dudes.
Yeah.
And a couple of duck football bros. And we drove up there, and we played together at Chambers Bay on Saturday. It was a lot of fun. And Nate said that not only did he pay $5,000 for the whole package, he ended up paying more because once he got fitted by Ben, he bought a bunch of clubs. So he's into this for like almost like $7,500.
Yeah. And he couldn't have been any better a sport about the whole thing. And I just, it was a great reason, why he did it, and it went to a great cause, and it couldn't have been a better day. I mean, it was gorgeous. Like like 81 degrees, a little bit of a stiff breeze, I would say, up at Chambers Bay.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
And it was just, it was gorgeous. I had never been up there. I'd never been to that course. And,
but you saw it on TV, though.
Yeah, I saw it on TV. And so that was kind of cool to go back and be like, oh, I remember that. And to see it was cool. It was one of my my better experiences.
Now, somebody got mad at me last segment. I think they misunderstood, like I was criticizing Bandon Dunes. Which I wasn't. What I was saying was Chambers Bay went with fescue greens, which that is what the Bandon Dunes greens are.
When Chambers was built, it was built as an homage to Bandon Dunes. They wanted to create Bandon Dunes at a place where they could host the U.S. Open. Bandon can never host the U.S. Open because of its remote location. Just there's the USGA won't do it. So Chambers was meant to emulate Bandon, so they went with those greens. But they can't do it. There's an invasive species of grass up there in Chambers Bay where they can't grow. They can't keep it. What is it? The pua or whatever it is?
Poa.
Poa. They can't keep it from overtaking the greens. And Bandon doesn't have that problem.
Yeah. So they threw in fescue and it was a mistake. I mean, look, let's be honest. It was a mistake. Yeah. The PGA Tour guys hated it and they were bitching up a storm. And so they're changing it now. So, they already have up at Chambers, they already have holes 7, 10, and 13 already are completely poa greens.
And they're gorgeous.
They're wonderful. Yeah, they're better. Because yeah. I don't know what it is. I would have to ask Matt, and I may do this eventually just because I'm interested in it. But I don't know why Chambers Bay's greens didn't end up being like Bandon's greens. Because Bandon's greens are wonderful.
Yeah.
And they're fescue and wonderful. But the Chambers, it just didn't work. And so they're switching them out. And there's a reason why they're switching them out is they want to get the U.S. Open or a PGA Tour event back there. And so they're going to close that course in October, and they're closing it all the way through the winter. You won't be able to play Chambers Bay this winter because they're transferring all the other greens over to POA. So by next year, by early spring next year, Chambers Bay will be all POA green. So the whole green problem that the players were bitching about at the U.S. Open will be over.
Because the putting green and the three greens that have already moved over were in really great shape. But the weird part is the greens right now are half fescue, half POA. It's a weird...
Well, POA is invasive.
Yes.
And so there is... And they've had some experiments where they have blotches of POA in a fescue green. It's just... It's transitioning.
Yeah.
But the fescue is just so slow. Yeah. I just could not get used to putting on that surface. But Chambers Bay to me is such a treasure. It is such a good golf course. Not only you mentioned the views, but every hole out there is memorable. Like it is a really good golf course. There's a reason why it was able to host the U.S. Open. And so it'll be even better next year, but it's worth going up and playing now. I mean, I've played there several times and I love it every time. The thing about Chambers you got to know is, you got to be ready for the walk.
Yeah.
That is a big ass walk and you can't have golf carts out there.
No, it will kick your ass a little bit. I definitely felt it the next day. Some of the elevation changes there. Certainly at one point, right? They come and get you in a golf cart and they take you up a hill.
Yeah. It's a long walk.
Yeah.
But you made it.
Yeah.
You played all 18.
Yeah, we played about 14. I stopped keeping score after 9. I shot a 56, 57 on the front. And then on the back, it was just like, because you guys were all good golfers and we're playing, you know, fairly competitive. And I didn't want to slow that down. So, look, I was along for the ride. But I will tell you this, that Isaac Rott put on quite the display, because even with the greens being in the shape they were in and you didn't hit any putts, you shot a 76. You get a couple putts to fall, buddy. You got like a 70 happening there.
I know.
It was close. That was an impressive display.
Thank you.
I give you the golf clap. That was
hit it
was
very
well played.
And I just couldn't putt. But golf's fun, and we want to thank Nate and Ryan. And you missed the best part. Well, there were multiple. We could power rank the best parts.
Mm-hmm.
One that you missed was on our way home, because you went up to Seattle for Father's Day.
Yeah, we stuck around afterwards, had some food and then beverages, and then I got picked up, and we went up to Safeco.
How about a black bear sighting? On the side of I-5.
Really?
Yeah. I don't remember what
like
part.
Off the freeway?
Yeah, I-5. We're driving. Well, you know, it's I-5 that you just take all the way back to Portland. And
I didn't know if you guys had pulled off somewhere. You're just driving on the freeway and you're in black bear.
Black bear sighting.
All right, what's
sitting,
up, black bear, bro?
Sitting right there on the side of the freeway. It was crazy.
Huh.
Have you ever seen that?
No. Well, in Alaska.
on the side of the freeway.
Yeah, in Alaska, you can drive around and you see stuff like that.
But so I looked it up. They said there's only like 25 or 30,000 black bears in the entire state of Washington.
Well, I'll tell you, in all the years I've lived in Oregon.
Which is actually a lot, but.
I've lived in Oregon and Washington for the, you know, the better part of 30 plus years. I don't think I've ever seen, honestly, a bear ever. And any of the times I've been out, I've seen some bear droppings. I've seen some bear markings, but yeah, I've never seen one. Certainly not along the freeway. You just see a bear bro hanging out.
Yeah. The bear was just, is, you know,
seen some cougars at some truck stops and whatnot, but never in the wild.
Oh, I've seen some cougars at some truck stops.
Oh yeah. You see them. Lot lizards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this was a small bear, but it was just sitting there. I hope it didn't get hit. I hope it didn't run out there because it was just kind of chilling. Right, but I just thought it was so.
I know it's always sad. I don't know why, but like when you see an animal that's been hit, and it depends, because like I guess it's like a possum, you don't really care. But whenever you see an animal on that you know has been smacked on the freeway, I get it. It's just an animal, and it happens all the time. But that always kind of bums me out. Like you see a deer or something, and you're like, what a crappy way to go.
We saw a deer too. Remember that?
Yeah.
Look at the wildlife we saw on this trip.
Well, what is the town that Chambers Bay is actually in?
University Place.
That is such a cute little just, I don't know, it kind of reminded me of like Anacortes, like San Juan kind of feel to it. It's like out of the Truman Show. It was almost too,
nice.
Mary Tyler Moore-ish. It's like a throwback to like 1952. It was gorgeous.
Well, we got to thank Nate and Ryan. They were awesome. And we had a great time. You know, you never know with those things.
No.
You get some guy who wants to give you his own sports show for the whole ride or whatever. But
guys couldn't have been any nicer.
Let's talk about the U.S. Open of Golf.
Yes.
Because, well, that goes hand in hand.
Well, we were like checking updates on Saturday, and I wondered, and I still haven't been able to see this, if Elias had this, because Dustin Johnson, shot 6 or 7 over? On Saturday?
On Saturday, shot 77.
And he still ended up in the lead. He kept the lead.
Yeah.
And he shot 77 going into round 4.
Very strange tournament altogether.
Yes.
The whole thing was strange. Yeah. And we'll get to it next. Here's Mike.
This is a Draft Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Sherway Building Center.
On 1080 The Fan.
Golf.
Yeah, let's talk golf.
More golf. Good.
Yeah, let's do that. Hey, if you're just tuning in, Washington and Oregon State are in a delay, although Mike just told you that in his update.
Yeah, we're at about 2-hour mark here that this thing's been postponed.
It's 5-4 Huskies, and it's in the top of the sixth. The Beavers have the bases loaded with 2 out, so it'll be very critical once they resume. We'll let you know. Also, it is NBA draft week, and we have a lot of stuff planned for that this week for you, so stay tuned. But let's wrap up the weekend. The U.S. Open of Golf. Out at Shinnecock Hills.
Yeah, which was not supposed to be the disaster that it was, 2004, the last time it was there? And it turned out to be every bit the disaster.
Yeah, it was. Well, 2 of the rounds were.
Yeah.
And 2 of the rounds weren't. It was just a strange tournament because that course is really hard, period.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what the weather is. If it's perfect weather, that course is just really tough. Those greens are tough. And then you couple that with the fact that the USGA loves once a year to set up the U.S. Open as, you know, they call it the toughest test in golf, and they set up the course super hard. So you couple that course, which is already hard, with the USGA and the way they like to set up the U.S. Open to really test the guys. And then on Thursday and Saturday, the wind kicked up and it changed directions, and it was a mess.
The USGA had to come out and admit after both of those rounds that mistakes were made. And on Thursday, they were really apologetic about some of the pin placements and just said that the course basically got away from us. And they said, this is not what we intended. Because going into it, this was supposed to be a kinder, gentler Shinnecock Hills. Supposedly, they weren't going to do this with the greens. They widened the fairways a little bit. They wanted this to be tough, but they didn't want a recreation of 2004. And you're right, on 2 of those days, you got it. And the course played tough all week. I mean, look, over par won it. But you're right, especially in some of the early rounds, there were some people that were able to go out and actually put together some nice rounds, including a tying for the best round in U.S. Open history.
Yeah, so Tommy Fleetwood had a 63
and came away a shot short.
But see, what they did was, so they had the green pins in some places that made it just impossible on Saturday if the wind kicked up the way it did.
Yeah.
And they, like you said, they admitted that was a mistake. So then on Sunday, they corrected that and said, well, if the wind... fires off like it did in the afternoon on Saturday, we got to put these pins like right in the middle of the greens and let guys at least, you know, play it that way.
Have a chance, because they said on Saturday that good shots were not being rewarded. In fact, good shots were being punished, and that's not...
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
That's not the goal. Yes, there's a difference between having a tough test and people not being able to score and people hitting good shots and being punished for it.
So they were sort of forced to kind of do it that way on Sunday because they didn't need another disaster from like Saturday. It was just a weird... The whole thing all weekend was just weird.
Well, even the Phil Mickelson thing. Yeah. No one's ever seen anything like it. It broke.
Oh, John Daly did that once.
Well... Does it count if John Daly did it?
Well, if I were to say one other golfer, at least in recent times, mm-hmm. did that, and you have to guess who it is, you would have guessed him, right?
But it broke Phil's spirit. It broke his will. And I don't know if I've ever seen a player of that caliber just quit on a golf course. And that's what Phil did by running after his putt and hitting it.
I told you my Phil story from the Masters, didn't I? I think I did.
Yeah, you were telling
me. He quits. Look, Phil has a reputation. We'll get to the whole Phil thing. Yeah. We'll do a whole segment on that. I've got some audio, too, which is kind of fun. Because Phil's a silly ass.
Yeah.
Right? Did you hear that? Maybe not. You look like...
Phil's a silly ass?
Yeah, you didn't hear it. I'll play it for you.
Okay.
So my buddy and I are walking up 10 fairway at the Masters, which is separated from 18 fairway at Augusta National by woods, trees. So if you ever watch their second shots on 18, over to the right, you'll see a bunch of trees. Well, on the other side of that is 10 fairway. We're walking down 10 fairway, and there's no one around, and we look into the trees. Like, right in the middle of these trees, there's a golf ball. And we're like, whoa, let's wait here. There's no one. We're standing by the ropes. There's literally no one there.
Let's see who this is.
Let's see whose ball that is. And guess who comes sauntering up?
Phil
Lefty Mickelson and his caddy, and he was out. This was Friday.
He was out of contention.
He did not make the cut, and this was his last hole. So this idea that guys don't quit on the golf course, they do, because I watched it firsthand where Phil walked up. The caddy didn't say a word, no yardage, nothing. Phil looks up through the trees like, do I have an opening? Grabs a club, hits it, and walks on. Like, he was done. Like, it didn't matter. And so Phil has a history of, and a lot of those guys, they're so competitive that when they play poorly and they are toast and they know they're toast, they're just like any other athlete. They're going to have moments where it's not their finest, like he said, and they're pissed off and they, you know, do things like that. But we'll get to that in its own segment, the Phil thing.
Yes,
Phil Mickelson.
I loved the outrage from Golf Bro.
Golf is so pretentious.
Yes, the self-importance. Oh, my God, of Rick Riley and Ian O'Connor and the likes.
So the last 22 groups, this was Saturday, the last 22 groups, not players, didn't break par.
No, like there were a couple guys that had some decent scores in the morning, but anyone that went out basically, you know, after 12, it was a death sentence out there.
So I've never seen this in a major where Ricky Fowler went 84-65.
Yeah, that seems to be a bit of a swing there.
From Saturday to Sunday. And then Tommy Fleetwood went 78-63.
Yeah, tied for the best round in U.S. Open history. Well, Dustin Johnson, who looked like the one guy that could manage the course the entire time, he shot, 77 on Thursday?
Yeah, and again, that was not a bad score.
No, he still ended up...
He just couldn't putt.
He shot 77 and was still tied for the lead going into Sunday.
Well, he almost won the tournament.
Yeah.
And he didn't make a putt except for 18 on Sunday when it didn't matter. He didn't make a putt all weekend.
No.
Like, his putter was in control, looking good. His short game looked good Thursday and Friday, and he just flat out lost his putter Saturday and Sunday. It cost him the tournament. So, look, the players did their best to be diplomatic about it. About the course, which didn't stop them from whining and crying at Chambers Bay. But this was a little different in that it's just, look, it's a great golf course. It just the mix, the wind and the USGA and kind of how it all played out just made for a bit of a mess. But I love it because one weekend out of the year, these PGA studs, they take it in the shorts and it's a survival of the fittest.
Yeah, beat them up.
And it's okay. I like that. I think that that's what the US Open is known for. And I enjoy it.
I don't mind it, but again, I go to the point where if you're hitting good shots and you're being punished for it, I think that's ridiculous.
Well, and they admitted that.
Yes. The Thursday and Saturday, to me, that's not enjoyable to watch. And we didn't get to watch a lot of it, obviously, on Saturday because we were up at Chambers Bay. But that, to me, is not good television. That's not good theater to watch the best in the world get brought to their knees like that. To me, there's a difference between being challenging and being that.
So the miss putt by Tommy Fleetwood, who, like you said, tied the U.S. Open record with a 63 yesterday. That missed putt on 18. He had another birdie putt on 18, could have shot 62.
And that would have sent a playoff.
That cost him the all-time low round record at the U.S. Open, and it would have sent him into a playoff based on how the rest of the guys finished. But I think it would have been weird to see a guy. They would have gotten a lot more criticism if you have a guy go out earlier and shoot a 62 and sit in the clubhouse and wait for everyone to go north of him.
Because what was it, 3 hours he was in the clubhouse after he finished waiting for this to be done?
Yeah, and so if the wind had picked up like Saturday and all those guys' scores start ballooning and he's just sitting there with a +2 because he played before the wind, that, well, I tell you what, they would have gotten a lot more heat. They're lucky that Fleetwood didn't win that by just finishing early.
Simply because he played earlier in the day.
But that putt, man, that's golf for you, isn't it? That that dude shot a 63. Yep. He made birdie after birdie after birdie, and then he's sitting there in the interview after the round going, God, should have been a 62.
Yep.
Right? Like, you can't appreciate the 63 because you left one out there on it. He actually left one out there on the last three holes, it seemed like.
Yeah, he was saying that he tied for the best round in U.S. Open history, and all he could talk about in the interview afterwards were the 2 to 3 shots that he left out on the course, saying that he could have shot 60.
That dude, he's going to win a major.
Yeah.
Old Tommy Fleetwood.
Well, and you can make the argument that maybe he should have had this one. It certainly was an opportunity. When you go out and shoot 63 and everyone else is just struggling to try to get par, I mean, you give yourself an opportunity, but again, you had so many of those blow-ups early on in the tournament.
Well, Brooks Koepka gets a giant meh from me.
He goes back-to-back, and you're giving him a meh?
Yeah, he doesn't do anything for me.
He's one of those guys, and like, I don't know if there's a bro factor to it. You know, there's just something about him that I think...
Oh, he's got a major bro factor.
It keeps people from rooting for him. That guy goes back-to-back U.S. Opens, and collectively, the golf world gives you
he doesn't do anything for me. And like Ryan said on email, our buddy from Chambers Bay on Saturday, he said, I can't really tell you why, but it's like, I wasn't really pulling for him. And I'm the same way. I can't put my finger on it. I think if he had a mustache, he'd probably, everybody would love him. But the fact that he doesn't, everybody, you know, they don't hate him, but it's like, Koepka, it's kind of one of those winners that you're like, I would have rather have seen DJ win or that's Fleetwood.
That's where we're at.
I don't know. There's something about Koepka that he's a bit boring. There's something about him. I don't know whether he's just so stoic, but he's just that bogey on 11. So on 11, you were up at the Mariners game, so you may not have seen this, but 11's a par 3, and he hit it over the green, and he's right in the thick of things. At number 11, coming down the stretch. U.S. Open, another U.S. Open title he could win, and he puts it in what the announcer said was the worst spot they've seen anybody in on that hole all day, and he was in the thick stuff behind the green. He was like, dude, he's got no chance here, and he knocked it out all the way across the green into another bunker, and that's what they wanted to do, is get it out of there and get it into the bunker and try to get that up and down for bogey. That's what he was playing for. That's where he put himself.
Yeah.
And he did it. And that was probably the highlight
of his round,
of his back nine. Is like that. Is like, dude, that was amazing that he made bogey from there. But that was like, of all the shots that he hit to win the tournament, that's the one that's the hole I remember most.
Is there a little Patrick Reed? Because when Patrick Reed won the Masters, weren't people kind of saying the same thing? They're
yeah,
like,
a little bit. There's something about
it. There's something about it where it just doesn't. It's hard for the masses to get behind.
All
and
right.
They're both American golfers and younger guys.
USA. USA. Yeah.
USA. USA.
I don't know. I can't put my finger on it, but whatever. Brooks Koepka, congratulations. It's a great job. Now, go.
Congratulations on your 2 U.S. Opens and back-to-back. Can you imagine if that's DJ or if that's Ricky Fowler or someone that goes back-to-back U.S. Opens? The guy's a effing conquering hero, but Brooks Koepka does it, and we all collectively shrug our shoulders.
Well, I think part of it is too that Koepka has only won one other tournament. You know, it's kind of strange. Like he's not like this guy who's who's just like Jordan Spieth went on a run there where he was just winning a lot.
Yeah.
Majors and otherwise.
Kepka's
Dustin Johnson too. Kepka just won back-to-back US Opens. He's only won one other tournament on tour. He won the 2015 Phoenix Open and that was it.
He's won two that matter.
So it's strange to people, I think, is he's not viewed as one of those elite guys, even though he's won an elite tournament twice back-to-back. It's very, I don't know. We can't wrap our heads around it.
This guy says the monotone gray outfit didn't help the boring factor either. Yeah, you're right. Like, even the outfit was a little just...
Kind of a bore. Yeah. All right, we wrap up the U.S. Open coming up next. And then at the top of the hour, the curious death of an Oregon football player.
Yeah, this is sad.
346 on the Fan.
This is a Draft Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Sherway Building Center.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, we'll get to the Phil Mickelson flap at the U.S. Open a little bit later in today's broadcast. But wrapping up the U.S. Open there for the time being. So Brooks Koepka wins. We give it a collective. That is, let's see, he's another American age 28 or younger. So the last five majors have been won by Americans 28 or younger.
Yeah, I mean it's that's everything that you could want, you know, if you're the, you know, if the USGA or the PGA Tour, that you're getting, you know, young Americans that are winning that should drive TV numbers. But at least your last two, Patrick Reed and now Koepka, and Koepka won last year. I just don't think do anything for anybody.
So there are two other guys, actually three. There's a guy who won a major within the last 10 years. Actually, sorry, he's won two majors over the last 10 or so years who only has one other win on tour. So that's exactly like the Brooks Koepka resume, and that's Martin Keimer.
Really?
Did you know he'd only won one other event?
No, I had no idea. I kind of assumed that
he'd won a lot,
that he had won a bunch.
No, he's in the Brooks Koepka territory. And then there are two guys over the last 15 or so years that have won majors that have no other wins on tour, and one of them blew me away. The first one is Sean McKeel. Do you remember when he won?
Yeah, kind of, sort of.
That was like 2003-ish.
Did he win?
I think it was a PGA, but I'm not sure. I can't remember.
No, that's not really memorable
yeah,
to me.
Yeah, he won, and it was just a, you know, it's kind of one of those, whoa,
yeah,
who?
Yeah,
it
got
and
hot.
He's never won on tour other than that. The other one, there's another major winner who has won one major and never won on tour at any other stop. Do you know, can you guess who that is?
That have never won another stop.
And he has a lot of starts. Like he's out there a lot. He's a household name.
Really?
Yeah. I'm talking about Louis Oosthuizen.
He has never won?
Nope. His only win on the PGA Tour.
He's got more than one major though, doesn't he?
No, his only win on the PGA Tour was the British Open.
I thought he had won a.
Well, he was the guy in the playoff with Bubba Watson when Watson hit that big hook on the 10 at the Masters.
Huh.
So Bubba beat him in that playoff, but
and he's never won another tournament?
That's his own on the PGA Tour.
PGA, he won some European stuff.
He won the British Open. So at any point did you think Patrick Reed was going to win that thing? Or you may not have been watching it because you were up in Seattle.
No, okay. We didn't get to see a bunch.
Well, Reed...
I saw the highlights of it, but yeah, we were up at the Mariner game, so I was on my phone kind of checking updates, but yeah, there was a 110 first pitch up in Safeco.
Well, Reed started three shots back on Sunday, and he birdied, I think, four of the first five, and it was like, oh boy. And it kind of looked like, if you were watching that thing, you were like, holy crap, Patrick Reed, after all of this stuff, is going to win another one.
And he'll go back to back because he obviously won the Masters.
He had a rough back nine, though. So he didn't win it. And how about the U.S.? How about the crowds out there? A lot of people are complaining, and rightly so, that the U.S. crowds can be out of control, especially the New York, New Jersey bros.
Get a little too wild?
Well, yeah. They're always yelling. seriously, after every shot on TV, there's something. Like, they were yelling, and some of them, it's like, Patrick Reed was out there, and I don't know if you heard the guy who yelled, "Nice shot, Chubby!" And it's like, really, dude? I mean, that guy's, I don't know. I just think it's crazy that, and you heard the, I think you've probably by now heard the audio of the two guys talking about having sex with their ladies.
Yeah, we did hear that.
Of course, that's not their fault. They just got caught on the microphone. It's just that, how many times do they have to dump cussing, and whether that's players or whether that's spectators.
But I've asked this question before.
They didn't do a very good job of dumping the players because you could hear it sometimes.
Yeah, you could hear plenty of stuff. And that's,
there was always that delay dump, you know, that you hear. That's when it goes silent. That's because there's something they don't want you to hear.
Yeah, and Fox is trying to bring you closer to the course. So you definitely pick up more of that on the Fox coverage than you do when another network has it. But I've always asked this about golf, and I get you're more obviously of a golf guy than I am. And I enjoy golf, but sometimes the corn cob, you know, where of golf can drive me a little nuts. It's like, really, are we really going to sit here and be critical of fans that are enjoying a sport and fans that are cheering? Why is it that golf and to some extent tennis both expect some sort of reverence that you don't get in any other sport? I mean, look, I get that golf here in the United States has gotten a little rowdy from crowds when it comes to majors, but go to any other sport, and we don't expect any sort of reverence from a crowd, but when it comes to golf and when it comes to tennis, we do.
But that's not what it is. What it is more of like, it's just bros trying to be funny and get on tape and be that guy.
Yeah, because it's quiet. It's getting the whole guy.
Yeah, exactly.
You can yell something
exactly.
And you can hear
it. So there's a difference between having like the Phoenix Open.
Yeah.
Like that is awesome. Like everybody's, that's the Waste Management Phoenix Open.
And it gets rowdy.
And they have made a killing. People want to go to that tournament because it's so fun. It's a party and it does get rowdy and people do cheer and they go crazy on that par three where they have the stadium seating. But it's not like this. It's not like where every other dude
there's an obnoxious tone to it.
Well, like, how's your ankle to Tony Finau and just like stupid stuff where all they're trying to do is go viral and it's just dumb. And I tell you what, it is an East Coast thing. I don't remember where the last US Open, maybe it was a PGA or something. They had maybe it was Bethpage. They had a tournament out there and God, those East Coast bros are so boisterous. It's not like they're just excited. They're just obnoxious. That's the difference.
So what do you do about it?
Well, I don't know what you can do about it. It seemed like the players handled it really well.
Well, this guy says it's interesting. He goes, when you're at a baseball game, you're not worried about the annoying heckler bothering the right fielder. It's that he's annoying you. Same thing here.
Yeah, kind of. It does get annoying to watch. Do they need to do something about it on tour? I don't know. If it doesn't bother the players, then whatever. It's just kind of like, okay. But you didn't watch it, so... Well, you didn't watch Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah.
Saturdays are worse because everybody gets wasted on Saturdays. Sundays are a little bit different, but towards the end of that tournament, it was the same thing. And it just gets to be a little much.
I can see that. I mean, I've obviously watching golf major championships, you definitely can get to that kind of roll your eyes point where the crowds can get a bit obnoxious, but it's a fine line because at the same time, I like the fact that, you know, there are some guys out there that do show emotion. Like when people used to give Tiger a hard time because he would curse and show emotion and you know, throw clubs. And I know it's a fine line between being a robot and having too much emotion. It's like the same thing with baseball and Bryce Harper. People got pissed at Bryce Harper and his thing was, sorry that I play with a little flair. Because I do think that there is an element of flair that's good for all sports. But yes, there is a fine line between flair, passion, and obnoxious East Coast getting the whole bro.
And you want to talk about being a robot. You know, at the Masters, they turn you in as a spectator. They turn you into a robot. Yeah. You can't yell anything.
No,
they'll kick your ass out. And this is why they don't want it to get to this level. All right, more on the Phil Flapp coming up a little bit later. But up next, the curious case of an Oregon football player who passed away.
Yeah, it's a terrible, tragic story.
359 on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.